Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's first installment of 2019, we're going to be chatting with SCSU professor Deborah Lee, one of the primary organizers of SCSU's Martin Luther King Jr. Breakfast and Day of Service, which is coming up on Monday, January 21st. The breakfast itself is free and open to the public. However, registration is required, and you can find a link to that on our website at kvsc.org under the Area Events tab. And today we're going to talk about all the different things involved with the Martin Luther King Jr. Breakfast and Day of Service, as well as a little bit about the keynote speaker, who's a best-selling author and prize-winning journalist and cultural historian, Will Haygood. For those not familiar with Haygood's work, he's chronicled America's civil rights journey through acclaimed biographies of Thurgood Marshall, Adam Clayton Powell Jr., Sammy Davis Jr., Sugar Ray Robinson, and Eugene Allen, the real-life inspiration for the award-winning film The Butler. So, Deborah, welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we've got the Martin Luther King Jr. breakfast coming up on Monday the 21st, and it starts nice bright and early in the morning at 8 a.m. And just get this out of the way. It's free and open to the public, but you got to make reservations. Is that correct?
That's correct. And registration is really easy. You just go to the website, www.stcloudstate.edu/care, and on the CARE website you'll find Martin Luther King registration information. So please do go and register, and register as soon as you can. Registration is going to close next Friday.
Right on. So it'll close Friday the 21st, 20th, 19th, 18th.
The 18th,
there
right.
There we go.
Right.
Get registered by then. Absolutely. So how long has St. Cloud State been hosting this breakfast?
This will be the sixth annual breakfast, and we're really excited. We started the first year with an audience of about 500 people, and this year we're expecting 800 or better. And we've actually moved the breakfast this year from St. Cloud State University to the River's Edge Convention Center so that we can seat people comfortably. And we have all kind of activities that are planned as part of the breakfast. So I think it'll be a really good move for us.
Oh, I remember in years past, I was chatting a little bit before we started recording, that I've wanted to cover this before, and I've wandered into this thing and, you know, even registered and showed up, and it's huge.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that show up for this. It's like the kickoff of a day.
Yeah. And it's really fun too, because it's open to families. So it's something you can bring your kids to. There are activities specifically for kids. While the adults are hearing the keynote address, the kids have their own activities going on in the King's Kids Room. And they get to learn about and experience Martin Luther King in a whole different kind of way than what the adults are experiencing. And it's really geared for kids and fun for kids.
Yeah, that's one of the neat things I like about the whole experience, because this isn't just celebrating some person in history. This is a little bit more than that. What was his... You know, what was his purpose? What was his desire within history? And then it's taking that and, well, it's growing that within everybody who attends.
Absolutely. Another thing that happens during the breakfast is there's an opportunity for community conversation and the implications of what our keynote speaker will be talking about for our community. So it really personalizes it to St. Cloud. And it personalizes it to everyone's lived experience of St. Cloud. What do we want for community and in our community? And how do we want to participate together as neighbors and friends and family? And it's also a day of service. Actually, it's a national day of service. So we have some real exciting opportunities to participate in a community service project.
Yeah, and that is definitely one of the things that I found very striking as well. This is the only holiday that really incorporates that.
That's true.
Yeah, it's big. You know, it's like the big message is do something.
Yeah. And do something that benefits your community, not just do anything, but really do something to benefit those in your community. We are really strategic about planning around how do we make that happen? How do we grow the actions, not only on Martin Luther King Day, but throughout the whole year for our community?
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the keynote speaker here for a little bit. It's Will Haygood. He is an author, a historian. He's written some very interesting biographies and everything. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Well, you know, what I know about Will Haygood the most is the writings that he's done around the movie The Butler. It's historical in the sense of all of the things that were taking place from the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and right up to the late 80s when the movie ends. But the thing I like about him most is that he really writes about the African American experience. We hear that experience often from people like Martin Luther King or people like Rosa Parks, but the everyday experience of people, African American people in this country, we won't necessarily hear about. And I love that he's writing about those experiences.
Yeah, when I saw that movie, that's definitely what I got from it. It's like, this is, on one hand, you've got, you know, the presidents, and you've got, you know, these very high-powered things that are going on, and he's just kind of in the background doing his thing. But then on the other hand, what is happening is, it is about everyone. And, you know, what is this experience that's happening? And it's going from a very brutal time all the way up to, well, it's like, it just gets, and I think that kind of, you know, cuts to the core of what's going on here. It just gets less brutal as it goes, but it's still kind of, how shall I put it? The problem isn't solved, but yet it just gets less worse, if that makes sense.
Less worse. I think often when we think about change, and especially change in America, that we see change as being something that's very straightforward, very direct, and ongoing, a trajectory that's on a straight line, right? And that couldn't be further from the truth. Often change is about one step forward and two steps back. And so rather than that trajectory being on a straight line, it looks more like a spiral through time and space. And there are times when we make great gains and advances, and other times when it seems like all of those great gains and advances are being undone and redone to be regained again. And I really think that's kind of how change progresses.
Or all of a sudden, and this is you know, one thing that struck me you know, personally, a few years ago, right when, you know, Black Lives Matter began, it was the story about Sandra Bland. She was an African-American woman who was pulled over for an improper lane change in Texas, and things escalated. And you can watch the video of the dash cam from the police officer that pulled her over. And it's just kind of obvious that the police officer escalated the situation, and then it got to the point where they threw her in jail. And 2 days later, 3 days later, she was still in jail, and they found her hung in jail. And it was, I had no idea. I had no idea what was going on. I'm watching the story like, well, this is ridiculous. What? this is an improper lane change, like a turn signal. And then it escalated into that. And so I'm feeling this, you know, as, you know, a Caucasian American, like, well, this is just ridiculous. Why is this happening? But then the Black community is like, this is not surprising. And I'm like, what do you mean it's not surprising? And that is kind of that moment where it's like, oh, there's something going on that I had no clue about.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of that. And as, you know, these moments, these like, you know, the Martin Luther King Jr. breakfast, I think that's a great place for everybody to kind of come together. On one hand, share those things. On the other hand, just get that perspective of, well, what is going on?
Yeah. To know more about what's happening, and then to also think about, and where do I fit into this? And what can I do about it? How can I have an impact in my community to begin to think about how to change things, but take action as well in terms of changing things.
Well, yeah, and also figuring out, it's like, well, I've got an idea of how to change things. Is that actually making it worse, or is that making it better?
Yeah.
Or what am I doing?
Yeah. And it's good, too, because it's a place where you can build relationships with people that maybe you haven't built relationships, and you can gain new perspectives as a result of that. And you can also begin to work together as opposed to working in separate camps or separate spaces, but really create spaces where collaboration is part of the strategy.
Absolutely. Well, what kind of different organizations are coming together to put this on or are involved with this breakfast?
Oh, my. Just about every organization you can think of has been involved with Martin Luther King Breakfast. And every year there are more and more organizations that come on board. So some of our ongoing partners have been the United Way of Central Minnesota, the Initiative Foundation, the Central Minnesota Community Foundation, Lutheran Social Services, the Salem Foundation, the Cheney Foundation joined us this year. So we have that kind of support. Of course, St. Cloud State has been a leader in bringing the breakfast to the St. Cloud community. CentraCare Health has been another very strong supporter. Almost half of our community champions in past years. And again, a lot of support this year have come from CentraCare Health. And so their contributions have been tremendous in helping us to grow the event. And as you might imagine, St. Cloud Technical College, College of St. Benedict have also joined us this year. And so a number of students are also present. And like I said, because it's open to families, certainly our churches in the St. Cloud area through the Isaiah group have been very instrumental in supporting the breakfast and getting folks out as well.
It's almost as if the whole community is coming together to do something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's cool. I think that's a wonderful legacy for Martin Luther King Jr. If you think about it, it's like every year, everyone comes together and sits around and chats and listens to somebody talk, and then everybody talks and then figure out where to go next.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what makes it so fabulous. Yeah, because it is about more than just talking. It is about taking action, and it's a day of action.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The talking is one thing. Everybody can sit around and talk as much as they want. But unless you actually do something, then, what? Let's just sit around and talk some more.
Yeah.
it's great to support a coffee shop with chatting and drinking coffee. But
but what are we actually going to do? And can we do?
You're in tune to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota here at 88.1 FM KVSC. And today we're talking with SCSU Professor Deborah Lee about all the different activities going on with the Martin Luther King Jr. Breakfast coming up this Monday, January 21st, beginning at 8 a.m. at the River's Edge Convention Center in St. Cloud. And now as we get back into the conversation, we'll talk about what are these things that we as a people can actually do.
And so in the past, we've done things like food packaging through Kids Fighting Hunger. We've had several projects that students have worked on at St. Cloud State throughout the year by volunteering just here in the Atwood Center Mall. Students can stop by and participate in a community service project practically every other week, I think, on campus. And then those things are that they create are distributed throughout the community. This year, every person attending will have an opportunity to participate in creating a dream package, is what we're calling them. And the dream packages will contain things like toothpaste, toothbrush, dental floss, non-perishable little food snacks, washcloths, combs, I brought for some of the dream packages little packs of earrings, even. Not expensive earrings, 99 cents earrings. And I know that...
Just something cute.
Something that will make a person smile, a person that might be in a shelter, for instance, or that might be homeless. You put on a pair of earrings and you just feel better, you know? Our deck of playing cards, you know? So there'll be a number of items that people have already donated. People can also bring items to put in a dream package. They need to be small enough to fit inside a Ziploc bag, a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. And we're hoping to assemble 800 to 1,000 of those packages that will then be redistributed to the community. But we also want to invite people to take them themselves because sometimes you might run into someone who could use a dream package. So they can also be available to those who are coming to take that action on their own.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that gets lost on, you know, some of us adults. You know, we get into our world, we get into our jobs, and we're like, oh, that's you know, it's just part of our, we go grocery shopping, we buy these things. And if you think about how often, I'm not saying we're not aware of it, because I'm aware of how much money I spend when I go to the grocery store, but that is a lot. That does add up. You know, you get your toothbrush, your toothpaste, your, you know, all these different things. And then, you know, that does add up. And if you're, you know, struggling with money anyways, guess what? Then you got to start sacrificing some of those things. And that's where the problems start. And then those problems compound on themselves. Or, you know, if there's a child involved, then that affects their self-esteem. And then that gets carried over into school. And then, you know, it is. It's a cycle. These things come back to a cycle. And I've seen what, you know, some of these groups in town, I think it's FACT that is doing this. What they'll do is they'll package up some food for kids and, you know, for like a long break. Ironically, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. They don't have school that day, nor do they have school the next day. So that's 4 days that there is a family. And there's more than one family. There's a lot of families. There's a couple of days there that those kids would be eating at school. But they're not, because they're not in school. So that actually puts a little bit of a strain on the family's budget and everything, just in order to provide that food. And, you know, that's something that I think that most middle class folk don't really understand how this can have such an effect. Or, you know, and that's one of those, I don't want to presume what other people know, but at the same time, if people knew of the struggle that these other families were going through, then maybe that's something that they can do to help those folk. And I think that that's kind of where FACT came from, is some of these, you know, I mean, they're not like really rich people, but at the same time that they're realizing that there's a problem, they could do a little something. And this is something directly that they can do. And then you get other organizations like St. Cloud Soup. You know, everybody comes together and they bring soup and a potluck. People do a presentation, and then whatever the donations are go to the winning presentation. And that's where FACT got, you know, they kind of got a start there doing that. And then that's now grown. And, you know, I work in the grade schools, and I see them showing up with these packages of food for the kids like all the time. And, you know, it's a subtle thing, but it's very important. It makes a huge difference. You know, it's like if you're in your life and you're thinking, oh, a tube of toothpaste isn't that big of a deal. Well, then you're not in a position that a lot of people are. So right. Be thankful for that. And what do you do with that thankfulness? Do something.
Yeah. And that's exactly what the conversation is going to be about at the tables. As we're assembling the dream packages, we want to ask people to reflect on, have you ever been at a point in your life where you were worried about having something as simple as toothpaste? And what does it feel like to sit with a group of people and assembly these packages, you know, assemble the packages. What does that feel like for you? And how does it feel to know that they're going to go to someone that will really benefit and it will have an impact? So those are the kinds of conversations we want to create at the breakfast, during the breakfast, as we are assembling the packages, and conversations that we hope will also go beyond that.
Excellent. So the breakfast itself starts at
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. And when is it finished?
It ends at 10 o'clock. So okay. It's a 2-hour event. The doors will open at about 7:30. And I always encourage people to come early because it's going to take you a minute to find a place to park and to get into the room and to hopefully find your community champion and sit with the folks that invited you and your family and to get kids situated and to get food and to get ready for the program as well. So, and we've got a great program lined up. I mean, besides Will Haygood as our keynote speaker, the St. Cloud State University Percussion Ensemble will be performing in the pre-show. The St. Cloud State University Choir will also be performing. We'll hear from our president, our new president, Dr. Robin Wacker, and the mayor, of course, has been there every year to provide a welcome. And because this is a signature sesquicentennial.
Sesquicentennial. The trick with that word I found is say the word Sasquatch.
Sesquicentennial. Yeah. All right, I'm getting better already.
It took me a while too. Then I realized, hey, that sounds like Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Sesquicentennial celebration. There's going to be a presentation that I'll be doing on the history of diversity at St. Cloud State. And actually, this is the first time that I'll be doing this presentation. And it actually starts with our one of our first African-American students, who was Cora Webster,
nice.
As you know. And it goes, so it starts in the late 1800s and goes through 2017. There'll be a poster presentation just outside the hall on the diversity of, or the history of diversity at St. Cloud State. And I think it's going to be terribly interesting and exciting, especially for me to have the opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, I think the Cora Ruby Webster story is a wonderful one, too, with the name change of Building 51 to honor her. But her story, she's a woman who decided to be a teacher. And she was a regular person. But if you would have asked me 2-3 years ago, I would have no idea who that is.
Right.
And then
Chris Lehman.
Then Chris Lehman came along. I've interviewed him twice, and I'm like, so, Chris Lehman does a little research and says, hey, let's do this. And it just makes so much sense. And then, but that, his research that then uncovered an interesting problem with St. Cloud State, that there was no process to change the name of a building. And that's what part of the problem was. But, to go back to her, she was a regular person. She was like, I just want to be a teacher. I want to do this thing. I want to, wound up in Canada at some point. But yet, looking back, wow, that she was a pioneer.
Absolutely. And a pioneer at St. Cloud State, of all places, which I think is great.
Yeah. And, maybe that just speaks to anyone can be a pioneer.
Absolutely.
Totally. Well, anything else you want to chat about with the upcoming breakfast?
Well, we started with very meager beginnings. A graduate student at the time, Dexter Stanton, came to me and says, Deborah, I think we ought to do a gospel brunch for Martin Luther King Day. And I thought, wow. I've been thinking about doing something in St. Cloud for Martin Luther King Day for a long time. Gospel brunch isn't the answer, though. I mean, that might be one aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But Martin Luther King Day is a national holiday that celebrates community service. We can do better than just a gospel brunch. And we started talking about that, and we invited other people to the table to be a part of that conversation. And certainly the religious community in St. Cloud were the first ones to come, and were very excited about the idea of doing something in St. Cloud around Martin Luther King Day, because Martin Luther King was indeed a pastor. And he has had an incredible impact on the religious community. One of the things I talked to Dexter about was, as a graduate student and an African-American male graduate student, what's the legacy that you want to leave at St. Cloud State? Nobody had asked him that question before. Mm-hmm. And we got to talking about legacy and the impact and how do we continue to have an impact, even as a student, on a community, on the university. And we came up with an art and essay contest that students participate in. And we named that contest the Dexter R. Stanton Art and Essay Contest. And Dexter graduated several years ago, but he still serves on the Martin Luther King planning team. He still judges each and every one of those essays that comes through. He's part of the team that looks at all of them. This year we had over 270 people send in registries for the art and essay contest. So there's artwork that'll be on display also at the River's Edge Convention Center. It'll be on display the whole month of January. And the essays are also there. And so we have about 22 people that will be receiving awards for those winning entries in the art and essay contest. And again, that's named as part of the legacy of one of our graduate students.
Wow, that is impressive. Yeah. And, well, once again, one person can make a difference. You just start this thing rolling, other people jump in, and all of a sudden, you got a thing.
Absolutely.
And it's huge. Well, once again, if people want to go to the Martin Luther King Jr. Breakfast, River's Edge Convention Center starts at 8 a.m. Doors open at 7:30. It is free and open to the public, but you do need to register, as I found out years ago when I tried to go for the first time.
Yeah, and registration is really important. You can register at www.stclaudstate.edu/care, C-A-R-E, care. And I really do hope that you will register and come out and join us. It will be a fabulous morning of and day of service for the Martin Luther King celebration. March 21st, Monday morning, March 20. I'm sorry, not March.
January 21st. Something else is going on in March.
January
You're just jumping ahead.
21st. I'm sorry. January 21st, 8 a.m., River's Edge Convention Center. We'll look forward to seeing you out there.
Oh, absolutely. It'll be inspiring. It'll change your life, I tell you. Guaranteed. I tell you what. Well, thank you, Deborah, for stopping in today.
You're welcome, and thank you.
And we've been talking with SESU professor Deborah Lee here on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. For registration information for the Martin Luther King Jr. Breakfast and Day of Service to be held on Monday, January 21st, beginning at 8 a.m. at the River's Edge Convention Center with keynote speaker, best-selling author, and award-winning journalist Will Haygood, you can find it online at www.stclaudstate.edu/care, or you can find links to it off of our website at kvsc.org under the Area Events tab, and also under the Podcasts and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab and the page for this story. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and with all that's going on in the world, much of it negative, wouldn't this be a wonderful opportunity to hang out with a few hundred people who are like-minded, not just in intellect, but also in heart and spirit, and to give this newest of our holidays a chance to see where the day takes you. The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of Amperz, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.